Today we start a new sermon series called How Great Our Joy. The title for this sermon series comes from the choir's Christmas cantata based on the hymn of the same name, How Great Our Joy. How great our joy. And isn't that what Advent is supposed to be? How great our joy. With more and more stores turning to Christmas at Labor Day, with 24-hour Christmas music playing the 1st of November, with a mad rush of early bird specials, Black Friday deals, Cyber Monday, we all long for simpler days when Christmas was more like a Norman Rockwell poster, don't we? We long for family dinners at Thanksgiving when the plan was to have a piece of pie and a nap instead of running out to the mall. The long-awaited morning when we as kids woke up to find just a present or two from Santa that were not socks or underwear. When Christmas was supposed to be magical like Miracle on 34th Street or somehow like that epic poem, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. But for many, the season of Christmas has become more like the Charles Dickens story Scrooge, except without the happy ending. We have nightmare after nightmare through the holidays. Nightmares of endless commercials. Endless shopping. Endless baking. Endless craft making. Endless decorating. Endless wrapping. And endless travel. And the season of Christmas can be very hard for many, especially to those who have lost a loved one, to those who are lonely, to those who are battling illnesses or battling depression, or to those who are just living in the darkness of life. Perhaps we need to stop trying to capture the world's version of the Christmas season and return to the celebration of Advent. Instead of focusing on presents, parties, and Santa Claus, we need to focus on prayer, scripture, and the coming Messiah. When we recapture the spirit of Advent and not the commercial spirit of Christmas, perhaps then we will be able to exclaim, how great our joy. How great our joy. In the Old Testament, there are more than 100 prophecies about the coming Messiah. The first of which goes back to Genesis chapter 4. And God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And if we broke that down, what he's talking about is the battle between Christ and Satan. In Isaiah chapter 7, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Hosea said, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son, a prophecy of Jesus going down to Egypt and coming back. And I could go on and on and on. The age of the prophets in the Old Testament ended around 420 BC with the prophet Malachi. It would be over 400 years before the predicted Messiah would come. And here's another big word for you today. The period was known as the intertestamental period. I will not say that 10 times fast. But it's the intertestamental period, which is the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some refer to this as the 400 years of silence. But this was anything but a silent period for the Jews. The Jews went from being under Persian rule to being under Greek rule when Alexander the Great conquered the region. And then they moved to being under the Roman rule when the Romans conquered the Greeks. It was largely a dark period of time for the Jews. The time of the Jewish kings and rulers had been taken away. And we have to remember that at one time, the kingdom of David was pretty vast. He went as far down as the borders of northern Egypt, north along the Mediterranean Sea towards Greece, and east out into Arabia approaching Persia. But as we know from the stories of the Bible, the once great 12 tribes of Israel were conquered, scattered, and only a small remnant of the tribe of Judah remained. That's where the term Jews came from Judah. But they were all Israelites, the son of Jacob, whose name was Israel. There were 12 tribes, conquered and scattered, and only a remnant of Judah remained. During the intertestamental period, or the 400 years of silence, it was anything but silent. There was turmoil as different empires came and went. And there was a huge battle even among the Jewish people between the Greek-speaking Jews and the Hebrew-speaking Jews. There were many rebellions during this time, and there were many self-proclaimed messiahs or saviors of the Jewish people, all of them being military leaders. One of the most famous rebellions gave the Jewish people about 50 years of freedom under the Maccabees. And it was during this rebellion to restore the temple that the miracle of the temple oil occurred. And during that time, there was only a one-day supply left of the appropriate oil. But magically, the altar light stayed lit for 8 days until new kosher oil could be provided. And this led to a festival of lights still celebrated by Jews today called Hanukkah. But by and large, this was a very dark period for the Jewish people. And that brings us today to these two prophecies. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And Jeremiah gives a very similar prophecy. He said, "In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line." The stump of Jesse is, of course, King David, Israel's greatest king. And the kingdom of David, as I mentioned before, was a great and mighty and powerful kingdom. There was no enemy that David could not defeat. His enemies trembled. The kingdom of David was like a large tree, standing tall and strong. And because of disobedience, Israel enemies were allowed to come and cut that tree down. It was cut down to the stump. And if you've ever had an old stump in your yard, and looking at the stump is a dark reminder of what was, what happened, and what could have been. Have you ever lost that favorite tree that maybe held the tire swing, or a tree house? Or something that you loved to play on as a kid and maybe your kids played on, but it had to be cut down. You remember what it was, how tall it stood, how strong it was, and you hoped that maybe it would last for more people to enjoy. And right here in these prophecies, we see the Jewish people are told that one day from this stump, there will be a new hope. That there was going to be restoration. Many prophets like Jeremiah tell of these specific promises from God. He says, "Nevertheless," this is God speaking, "nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. Then this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor of all the good things I do for it. And they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I provide for it." These are wonderful promises made to God's people. Healing and health, restoration, forgiveness, cleansing, a promise to be raised up, to be prosperous. And these are just a portion of the prophecies about the coming Messiah. There are numerous prophecies about a new kingdom, a new way, about justice, and about mercy. Have you ever felt cut down in life? Have you ever felt downtrodden like the world has conquered you? Have you ever been upset and felt guilty for your sins, stuck in an endless circle and a cycle you can't get out of? Do you get upset when you see a world of injustice? Well, people, I say to you, the Messiah has come just as the prophecies have said. And through Jesus Christ, we can have new life, a new beginning, forgiveness, healing, and redemption. When we come to Jesus Christ, our Savior, when we kneel at the altar and we repent and turn our lives over to Him, He forgives us. And His Holy Spirit begins to transform us. And out of us comes a new life, a new shoot, a new chance. We are to be changed people. We are called to live a different kind of life. And just as the choir sang, we could change the world if we lived like that. If your life is not bearing spiritual fruit, if your life has not been transformed, if you are not growing in our walk with Christ, if your faith is in question, if you have doubts, then today is a day you can come to God. You can come and fall on your knees and say, Lord, I surrender. Because you will find a different kind of happiness when you are all in. When you give God all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. We, as God's people, we should be singing every day, how great is our joy. How great our joy. Joy, joy, joy. And not only do we get a new life in Christ right now, we have a whole host of prophecies that tells us that Jesus will come again. How great our joy. We know that final victory is His. How great our joy. From the prophecies, we know that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and the things of this world will be gone. How great our joy. During Advent, we prepare for and anticipate the coming of the Christ child. We remember the longing of the Jews for this coming Messiah. And we remember our own longing and need for forgiveness, for salvation, and a new beginning. During Advent, we not only look back and celebrate the birth of Jesus in a humble stable in Bethlehem, we also look forward, anticipating the second coming of Christ as the fulfillment of all that was promised by His first coming. How great our joy. Are you ready for Advent? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you eager for His second coming and for those promises to be fulfilled? Today can be the day that changes the rest of your life. Today can be the day that you proclaim how great our joy. In a moment, we are going to sing the hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Hear these poetic words from Charles Wesley, the brother of our founder, John Wesley. It says, Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, join of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thy own eternal spirit, rule in our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. And I ask you here today, will you say, Come, thou long expected Jesus? What will be different for you this Advent season? Will it be the same as every other one? Will it be a time of survival? Will it be a time you'll say, Glad that's over? Or will this be a time that you say, How great our joy? When it stops being commercial Christmas and it starts being Advent. Do you understand the difference I'm saying here? When it becomes Advent, you're saying, Come, thou long expected Jesus. Come into my heart and help me live differently. We celebrate that the prophecies were answered, and we celebrate that you're coming again. That's why it's the beginning of the Christian year. We start by celebrating that God is who he is, that God fulfilled his promises, that Jesus came and he was born and he died and he was raised again. He came to give us new life and a new way, to restore us, to forgive us, to bring us into right relationship with the creator of the universe and all of his promises so far have come true. And there are promises yet to come that we see in his word. And we don't know how many years of silence we have. We may have one day, we may have another thousand, we don't know. But during that time, we are supposed to live differently. We're supposed to be that new shoot bearing out of the stump so that the world sees out of this darkness and out of this horrible place that we see all these things happening, that there is new life and new growth and new ways and new fruit. Because we're not just supposed to be a branch, a shoot. We're supposed to bear fruit. And our fruit are to lead others to Christ. And we should have so many branches that we become a forest. And a forest that grows. And new seeds and new fruit. And new seeds and new fruit.